Senador Hollenberg.
Há aparelhos de tradução, viu, se ele for falar em inglês.
Eu vou falar em inglês em um momento, mas como sou um brasileiro, eu falo um pouco em português, porque a preciosa língua portuguesa precisa da atenção. E eu não tenho a capacidade de exprimir tudo o que eu quero exprimir na parte das Nações Unidas esta tarde. Por isso, desculpa se eu falo em português em poucos minutos, mas, senador Hollenberg, Isabela, querida ministra, hoje é o Dia Mundial do Meio Ambiente. Estamos em muitas ocasiões, especialmente esta manhã com a senhora presidente Dilma. Os anúncios do governo hoje estão um momento muito bom para o Programa das Nações Unidas para o Meio Ambiente, porque o Dia Mundial para o Meio Ambiente é um dia de novelas positivas. E eu quero agradecer outra vez à comissão. E vocês, os senadores, embaixadores, excelências, para esta oportunidade de discutir um pouco mais que o ano passado, os objetivos da nossa conferência ou, mais importante, os resultados potenciais. With that, if I could just switch to English, because I want to be very brief this afternoon and very focused, let me just say that it is always a great honor to be with you here, Senator, and to have the opportunity to address you and address also the Commission. And I had not read the full title last time I was with you, the Commission for the Environment, the Defense of the Consumer, and Fiscalization and Control, the Senado Federal. But what drew my attention just now was also the defense of the consumer. And I think it is a very interesting evolution of the concept of environment when we meet today in the year 2012 to the concept of the 20th century. And I was struck, in fact, in the magazine here on page 14 and 15, the headline is Estocolmo marcó quiebre de paradigma. This was the beginning of the United Nations Environment Program. It was the beginning of a different paradigm of understanding the role of environmental sustainability in our societies and in our economies. Senators, ladies and gentlemen, we are now 40 years after Stockholm meeting as a global community. And I can assure you that so much has been accomplished in the last 40 years that we should rightly be proud of. And indeed, having commissions on the environment, having ministries of environment, having a body of national environmental legislation, having an international body of environmental law that has grown over the last 40 years, these are all examples of the kinds of achievements that we have managed, to bring about in these 40 years. But tomorrow morning in Rio de Janeiro, UNEP will release its new Global Environment Outlook report. Number 5, it is the latest State of the Planet report prepared in time for the Rio conference. It is a report that UNEP produces every 4 to 5 years. And I have to say to you, it is interesting just to mention 2 findings in this report. We examined 90 environmental goals that have been agreed by governments at the international level over the last 30 years. These are goals that are part of conventions, of protocols, of resolutions that have been taken and decisions in the General Assembly. And the very sobering balance sheet is that in 4, only 4 out of those 90 have we actually achieved what we set out to do. Now that cannot satisfy any government, any parliament, any senate. It certainly does not satisfy the scientific approach towards sustainable development, and it is increasingly also creating frustration in our societies, wherever we live on this planet. There are many of these goals on which some progress has been made. But here we come to the second finding that we will highlight tomorrow, that on virtually every major indicator of sustainability that we agreed in Rio 1992, the world has not managed to achieve its objectives. In fact, we present in a publication associated with GEO called Megatrends some of the major sustainability indicators for our planet, and I can not go into the details now, but it is a very sobering balance sheet. In fact, it is a negative balance sheet. And this is, I think, a cause for major concern, because 40 years after having a framework, a new platform for environmental cooperation and international environmental policy making, which at the end of the day influences every country, every nation, For instance, when Stockholm took place, there were, I think, three or four ministries of environment. Today, 190 countries have either environmental ministries, agencies, authorities. We can affect a great deal on this planet if we agree to common targets and goals. Now, we are meeting in a few days' time for the Rio Plus 20 conference. You all know by now the themes on the green economy in the context of sustainable development and poverty eradication, and also the reforms of the institutional framework. And you are also aware that in the last few weeks, the objective of agreeing sustainable development goals has emerged as one of the outcomes. The discussions that took place just until this weekend in New York, however, reveal a context for this summit that is extremely difficult. It is not the context of 1992, the post-Cold War momentum, the sense of, in a sense, opening a new chapter in international cooperation. We are meeting against the backdrop of parts of the world facing financial crisis, economic crisis, unemployment, to some extent unprecedented at these levels. We are also facing a social and political upheaval in parts of the world such as North Africa, and we are also seeing a realignment of global politics, geopolitics. Emerging economies have indeed emerged economically, but one of the interesting things you see through the lens of the United Nations is that that emerging economy expressed in economic power has not yet begun to form a new geopolitical emerging economies force. Therefore, there are a series of vacuums at the moment in terms of global leadership, in terms of the ability to bring nations together. Our conclusion in UNEP 3 years ago was that one of the reasons why Agenda 21 and Rio 1992 were, in terms of their design, absolutely correct, and their objectives remain as relevant today as they were in 1992. But one of the fundamental lessons we have to learn is that if we want to achieve greater equity and sustainability, we have to go to the core of what is driving our societies and our political discourse today, and that is economics. Economic policy, it is also economics in the sense of ownership of resources, control over land resources, financial resources, economic influence. Because the hard truth is that for virtually every problem we have identified in sustainable development, we actually have the answers. We know that we can move from a carbon-intensive energy economy to a low-carbon economy. There are countries in this world that have 40, 50, 60% renewable energy infrastructure matrices. There are countries who have 80% nuclear energy, and there are countries who have 0% nuclear energy. What we do know is that a different energy future is perfectly possible. But let us also be frank. We are currently in a situation where we are negotiating a climate change agenda that is saying to all of us, forget about the 2-degree warming limit that we did not want to cross. Because if we continue right now with the prospect of 2020, the year 2020 being when the next post-Kyoto framework will come into effect, there is no way this world will stay within a 2-degree warming scenario. And yet, in terms of solutions, we have many options available, but they are not moving because in the economic policy frameworks, we still have embedded the 20th century systems of how our markets have rewarded certain technologies, certain infrastructure choices. And it is that which makes the discussion in Rio about the green economy not just a theoretical or an environmental discussion. It goes to the core of how can we achieve equity and sustainability in the development process by addressing head-on the economic signals in our society, whether these are fiscal policy, whether they are subsidy policies, whether they are sectoral policies. All of these go to the heart of either enabling sustainable development transitions to happen, or as we call it in UNEP, the transition towards a green economy, an inclusive green economy as Brazil has defined. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is that unless countries begin to take that leadership role nationally, and not only as a result of an international matrix of negotiation, we are doomed to fail and meet in another 20 years with a balance sheet that will be equally frustrating, but even more serious in terms of irreversibility. So what are these instruments? Energy policy. I don't know how many of you know that the other country that I call home, although I'm never there, in Germany, just last week, had a new record. It produced in one day more energy, electricity, from the roofs of its photovoltaic installations that are 3 to 4 years old than 20 nuclear power stations put together. Germany's energy matrix today is one-fifth renewable energy, an infrastructure for one of the largest economies in the world put in place in just 10 years. Kenya, my home today, is a country that brought a new energy policy, a green energy policy, into law 3 years ago, as a result of which every new infrastructure investment in that country now is either geothermal, wind power, or solar. The largest wind power farm in Africa is now being built in Kenya within 18 months of that law having been passed with private capital. Our headquarters of UNEP, a new building, is powered 100% by a photovoltaic installation. This is technology in the heart of Africa producing electricity. So why is it that our ability to move forward on these issues does not seem to progress? Because in our international negotiations, we have such diverse interests that when we come together for these summits, we continuously face the problem that disagreement dominates over areas in which we could move forward. I would suggest that the discussion about the green economy in Rio is a unique opportunity not to overnight redesign our economies, but to agree as an international community that the paradigm shift over the next few years will have to focus on how economic policies are reformed, changed, and aligned in order to enable these transitions to happen. And whether these are sectors or fiscal policies or the fact that we still subsidize fossil fuels, often in the name of the poor, although 80% of those subsidies actually go to the top 20% of our society, with $600 billion a year artificially keeping the price of oil, gas, and diesel down, therefore making the transition towards renewable energy investments more difficult, is not rational if you accept climate change, if you accept energy security and the ability to move forward. On the green economy, let me touch on one other issue that I think in Rio will play an important role. It is the debate about, is the green economy a way of monetizing nature? Is it commercializing that which is not commercial because it has a value, an intrinsic value? Many in civil society are debating this notion of attaching a value to nature. But let me share with you an understanding with which we have approached this. Valuation is not equal to monetization, but it is recognizing that nature plays a value that in our economic system today of national environmental accounts is largely invisible. If you are economically invisible in our world, you're essentially of no value, and therefore you get exploited as if you are of no value. So our work on the economics of ecosystems and biodiversity that is now being pioneered also in Brazil through the leadership of Minister Teixeira is to put a light on the value of nature's services to the economy. And in Brazil, we often discuss, and in the international community, the fate of the Amazon as a forested area. The fact of the matter is that perhaps the greatest threat to the future of South America's economies is not the fact that there will not be trees standing there. It will be that the entire hydrological system of the continent will be affected by what happens to this ecosystem. How do you capture the economic value of a tree left standing with all the services that these trees provide versus the commercial value of the tree being cut down or the land being put to another use? We have to bring this kind of data to our public debates because only then are we comparing apples with apples and oranges with oranges. This is one of the core issues also about the green economy when we talk today about how can nations look at their systems of national accounts. It touches also on the question of GDP. Beyond GDP is today something that many institutions are searching for a more intelligent instrument to measure economic progress. We know that GDP is, in a sense, the equivalent of a five-year-old's school measuring tool for assessing economic progress, yet our entire global economy is driven by this single indicator. Whether you ask the OECD, the United Nations, the World Bank, and many other institutions, finding a better instrument for measuring economic progress in our economies is a priority. Rio could move that forward. But the difficulty at the moment is that, as you know, the negotiations towards Rio Plus 20 are easily slipping back into the old patterns of negotiations, where failures and disappointments of the past have created a great deal of distrust. And therefore, the ability of nations to think forward collectively and focus on those things which they share in terms of interests are not necessarily progressing. That will be the challenge we face. And the many tools associated with the green economy discussion in terms of poverty alleviation, investments in energy efficiency, renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, the climate change issue, or things such as you have already pioneered here in Brazil, sustainable reporting. The Stock Exchange of São Paulo is amongst the pioneers worldwide of having promoted a system of transparent reporting. Just like today, Brazil is pioneering, amongst a limited number of countries, a system of public procurement, sustainable public procurement. If you want to build a green economy, the best place to start is with the single largest purchaser in the market of many economies, the state, the public budget. On average, worldwide, that is 20 to 25% of our economies. It takes only 15 to 20% of our economic demand to change an industry in terms of the kinds of products they will supply. So I want to congratulate President Dilma and her government today on having taken a bold decision on making sustainable public procurement a simple but effective tool of building the markets in which businesses and communities can begin to gain economic advantage by producing more sustainably. Two more brief points, senators, and then I will hand over to Senator Rollenberg and listen also to Isabella Teixeira, the minister who in many ways stands at the center of this summit. And that has to do with the institutional framework for sustainable development. Now, we are together here in the Commission on Environment and also on External Relations. Brazil, in the perception of many, has been looked towards to help reform the United Nations system from a 20th century architecture to a more effective 21st century multilateral platform. The most difficult end of that clearly goes to the reform of the Security Council. But the Security Council is one vital organ of the United Nations. The discussion we are also having in Rio this year is what needs to happen to make the United Nations relevant again, effective and more efficient in providing the kinds of international mediation facilitation platforms to reach agreements. Our conferences, senators, are not exactly a tribute to great success in recent years. And this is not unique to the environmental agenda. You can look to many other elements, the World Trade Agenda, the Doha Round, the climate change negotiations. We are not succeeding in the format of running our multilateral system in helping to move things forward. The proposals that are being made to replace the Commission on Sustainable Development, which has not really succeeded in its objectives, is to be welcomed. We need a stronger umbrella framework for sustainable development, and I hope that Rio will give momentum to that. Secondly, the question of international environmental governance. You will not be surprised that I would say to you, 40 years after having created the United Nations Environment Programme, that it is high time that nations revisited whether an architecture that is almost half a century old is still current enough in terms of being able to help nations to move forward. That is why the discussion on international environmental governance has, in fact, moved to the center stage of this summit. And some are surprised that this is not any longer a European discussion. I want to emphasize that because often in the media, environment is taken back into an issue of the North versus the South. You know as Brazilians, as does every Chinese leader, Indian leader, and African leader, that environmental sustainability is increasingly a driver for very public debate, for growing conflicts, and particularly growing concerns in our societies that reach deep into the economic future of our countries. It is, in fact, now a proposal to upgrade the environmental governance system through an upgrade of UNEP, shared by well over 100 countries, amongst them the entire African continent. This is unprecedented because never before has a group of developing nations taken such a strong stand. Why is that? Many have not realized that African leaders in the last 5 to 7 years, confronted with the prospect of climate change and the frustrations of an unfulfilled promise of technology and capacity development and access to markets, are realizing that unless they focus on the wealth of their economies and their countries, which is their natural resource base, and the threats to the future of their economic development, they will be the losers. Because Brazil and China and India are already investing in the green economy. Let us not claim that this is not happening. These are the countries that have the finance, the policy capacity, the human resources, and the institutions. But many of the smaller developing nations and African nations will be once again be the losers of a 21st century shift in our economic production and consumption systems because they do not have the means to jump on that train. That is why Rio and the discussion about the green economy and also about environment has become so important to them. And therefore, I urge you also to keep a close eye on what this discussion about environmental governance is really about. It is not about the unbalancing of sustainable development in its three pillars. It is to perhaps correct an imbalance that is 40 years old and is increasingly compromising the world's ability to achieve sustainable development. And that is also embodied in the discussion about sustainable development goals. I can assure you we will have terribly complex debates in Rio and following Rio about what these sustainable development goals should be. But one real aspect that I welcome the most is that perhaps for the first time we are now accepting that all 190 to 200 nation states on this planet must have a shared objective in the sustainable development arena. This is no longer the need of the South, the responsibility of the North. The North has as much responsibility to deliver on sustainable development as the South has the opportunity to turn this into something different than the 20th century development path. So with these remarks, Senator Rollenberg, thank you for inviting me here. You have read sometimes my comments that are quoted in the media, also in Brazil by journalists, in a very abbreviated manner. I remain very concerned about this conference, and I think everybody who cares about Rio Plus 20 needs to be concerned, because without that concern, there will not be the pressure and the momentum to broker valuable new ideas and agreements. But I am far from saying that this conference cannot be of an extraordinary importance to the future of international sustainable development policy making as much as it will affect individual nations. And our commitment from our Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to Xia Zhukang, who is our Conference Secretary General and with whom together we had the flag-raising ceremony today for the Rio Centro, to everybody across the UN system, we are keenly looking to Rio Plus 20 to be more than just a conference. It must be a summit. And it is a summit that is actually happening at a moment in time that could be extremely meaningful to the world. It could be a world economic summit where sustainability and equity for the first time are not just phrases that accompany the economic dialogue, but actually become defining parameters for economic policymaking. Muito obrigado.